Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
at an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Happy Party Friday. Julie Hayden, Chuck Bonnywell for the Chuck and Julie Show. Chuck is wrapping some stuff up. He should be joining us pretty quick. And I'm going to apologize. I have a bit of a cold, a summer cold. I got it from Rev, not sure where he got it. So I'm going to be using cough drops. So if you just see me going, that's what's going on here. Hey, the show brought to you today, as always, by AmericaCitizenPress.com, a great website for conservative voices, along with Denver Synergetics and Dr. Julie McCallan. We're going to have Mark Poff on coming up here in a little bit, former El Paso County investigator. He's going to be filling in for us on Monday. He has a great show line. I'm like, he's going to be our booker from now on, I think. But in the meantime, we have Matt Arnold with Campaign Integrity Watchdog. Wanted to bring you up to date on our favorite school board member, Tay Anderson. Hey, Matt, thank you for your time. Thank you for joining us today. What? Got your mic on?
I was on muted. Yep. Hi. Good to see you.
Yeah. So Tay Anderson informed us all that, as far as he was concerned, the investigation into the sex assault was not over. It's just taking too long. And it's taking long enough now that he's the victim. He wants restorative justice. I get a feeling he wants another GoFundMe page.
No, he doesn't want GoFundMe on Venmo. He doesn't want it public anymore.
He doesn't want Matt Arnold and us looking it up. But in the meantime, though, thanks to your efforts, the Denver District Attorney's Office has launched a criminal investigation into Tay Anderson regarding allegations of violating the campaign finance, campaign disclosure rules. So the sex assault stuff is going on, that's separate. And while they're all twiddling their thumbs and doing who knows what, I mean, you'd think that that would be something of importance to them all. But in the meantime, though, you've been able to get some stuff done. So why don't you go ahead and explain what it is that you've been working on?
Sure. Well, it's actually not anything that I've done really in the last couple of months. Back when I filed the campaign finance complaint with the Secretary of State's office, I also simultaneously filed a complaint with the District Attorney's office, because this violation is kind of a two-track violation. It's both a campaign finance law violation, and it's also a criminal misdemeanor. Chuck will know the reference here, CRS 24-6-203, subsection 7. It is the criminal portion of this. And so any person who willfully files a false or incomplete report pursuant to the section, willfully fails to file a report required by the section, willfully fails to provide the statement of value required by subsection 5, yada, 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 or violates any provision of the subsection of this section, is guilty of a misdemeanor, and upon conviction thereof shall be punished by a fine not less than $50 nor more than $1,000. So this is a criminal violation as well as a campaign finance violation. So when the Secretary of State predictably punted and claimed that they had no jurisdiction because it didn't fall under the normal campaign finance reporting schedule, they claimed that, well, yeah, sure, he is required to file these reports with our office, but we have no jurisdiction. This is all a criminal matter. So that's essentially.
And plus, he's a Democrat, and he's Tay Anderson, and so we don't want to be mean to him.
Well, maybe. I mean, I think the Secretary of State's office in general just doesn't like doing their job. There's a lot more for them to do in terms of pontificating about how Colorado has a gold standard of elections.
And good point.
Doing all sorts of wonderful things, and it's all about the drop boxes and et cetera, et cetera. Everyone, including dead people, get to vote.
Right.
But when it comes to actually enforcing the law, enforcing any violations of any, really any of the sections of the law, campaign finance, elections law, fraud, whatever, Secretary of State has better things to do, apparently.
Right. Very busy.
Yeah, it when you're profiling yourself for your next political office, you have certain things you have to worry about, apparently.
Well, and let me interrupt you for a second, because I think it's important that people understand sort of the basis for these laws. I mean, it's not just to give politicians a hard time. The whole point is so that citizens can see in an open, free, transparent election who's donating to what campaigns and how much they're donating, because there is, as everyone knows in politics, sometimes there's a quid pro quo going on, and at least we can see what's going on. And a lot of times it's a really good way to figure out who you want to vote for, because you can see who's donated to them. So that's why we have these requirements.
Yeah, but these are not donations.
Well, these don't
go to his campaign. This is just for personal expenses. I mean, he's just personally got a grift hand out. I mean, the old way you used to put it in a cigar box and give it to him. Nowadays, you just go to Facebook or GoFundMe
or Target Baby Registry.
Target Baby Registry, all of which he's done repeatedly. And all he has to do in this case, because he's not subject to the ethics rules that Polis adopted on us, he just has to say he got the money. Just tell people he got it. No, I'm not going to do that because I am Tay Anderson.
That's right.
Essentially, and a lot of politicians seem to be pretty arrogant about that, and there are a lot of favors and a lot of money changing hands, and a lot of business happens to be afforded to the politician's business in the off session, or they do favors for other people to get judges to do certain things for them. A number of things that these politicians in office do, and it's all about abusing their power and their position and their authority. And as Julie pointed out, the whole point of all these disclosure laws isn't to give politicians a hard time. It's to provide at least some small measure of transparency to know, hey, who's buying this guy?
Right.
Who does he owe? Who is providing him favors and maybe might want something in return? It's all very, very, Godfather-esque. I'm going to do a little favor now.
Well, and Tay Anderson took it to a whole new level.
He
didn't even pretend that these were campaign donations. He just was flat out asking people to contribute money to his GoFundMe page, right? It was just like, give me money, basically.
Right. And like you pointed out, it is kind of a grift. But again, it's one thing if individual people want to be grifted and want to give money to politicians. More than likely, if someone's giving someone $20 to, buy a baby gift, they're probably not going to get a big amount of money in return. However, some of the gifts to Tay Anderson and to other politicians have been a lot more significant, and they've been given by organizations with an interest in the policy that these people control.
Right.
So folks that want to influence education policy and spend a lot of money and time and get a lot of people involved, happen to be giving Tay some pretty significant gifts. Maybe they might want something in return for that. At the very least, they're buying access that you and I and anyone else is not going to get. And the more likely scenario is they're getting something in return for their generosity.
And well, that's why he's got to hurry up and get back on the board in spite of the sex assault allegations. All these people who bribed him are like, hey, hello, you're supposed to be.
Well, what would I like to
you better deliver, buddy. We expect something for our investment.
Right.
He says he wants to go back to his day-to-day duties. Now, if you're on a school board, you don't have day-to-day duties. You go to board meetings. You don't get paid. So if it was a day-to-day duties, they'd be violating the Minimum Wage Act or something. Mm-hmm. So he has no day-to-day duty. So there's nothing for him to actually do on a day-to-day basis, except grift, I guess. And what I like, his latest one is he's not going to put on Facebook anymore. He's not going to target, because then people could see who was giving it to him. He's got another Venmo.
And PayPal.
PayPal. And it's just saying, look, my grandmother died. My grandmother liked me. So give me money for my birthday. I mean, I love that. That's just only Tay Anderson. Could think that's a heart wrenching. Your dead grandmother liked you, so I should give you money for your birthday.
See, now Hunter Biden should think of this. Hunter Biden's busy painting paintings, right? He's putting some actual work into it. So he should just go straight to the Tay Anderson way and just ask for the money. Well, so back up then to your complaints. So then
and the Hunter Biden thing, that's a great analogy, because anyone with more than three brain cells bumping around inside their noggin knows no one's buying Hunter Biden's art for the sake of Hunter Biden's art. They're buying Hunter Biden's art because they want access. They want access to the big man through Hunter Biden. That's why you have these ridiculous amounts of money being spent on, you know, stuff that your kid or my kid could probably do much better, right, and be much more artistic. But we're not going to be, the kids are not going to be raking in tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Hundreds of thousands, half million. Those beautiful art pieces are going for $500,000 each.
Yeah, that's right.
$500,000.
Yeah. Well, and so you'd think, though, that Tay Anderson being under investigation, getting yet another letter from the district attorney's office. Or I don't know if you get another letter, but I mean, you would think that he'd be minding his P's and Q's. And no. So they send him a letter saying, like Chuck says, he doesn't have to explain it. He just has to report it.
Just answer the letter when they notified him that, yes, you're under investigation and some response is necessary. And he blew them off because, you know, hey, I'm a politician. I do what I want, apparently. Some animals are more equal than others. And, you know, because of that, now there's an open investigation. I don't know the details of that. It would not be appropriate for them to share many details of that. But there is an investigation. It is a criminal investigation. And if found guilty, and again, there's a long, long process here. The wheels of justice grind slowly. He may or may not be found guilty. If he is, it may be several months. But the fact is that it is an open criminal case.
Right. And you think, being Tay Anderson, we already know he's got a lawyer for the sex assault things. How hard would it? I mean, to me, I guess what gets me is just the arrogance here that he doesn't, you know, number one, that he's doing it in the first place. And like Chuck said, he hasn't stopped. You guys file a complaint. He doesn't stop.
He thought that, you know, when the Secretary of State punted, and he essentially crowed about it. It's like, yep, I'm good. Ha, I got away. You can't touch me. I mean, he might as well be playing MC Hammer. He can't touch this, right? But sooner or later, these people get caught up.
Well, he's got a lot of years to get caught up on. I mean, he's only like 21 or 22.
23 now, since his birthday.
Has his birthday come and gone?
Well, I don't know. You still have time to donate if you want.
Yeah, to his birthday party. I guess not the party. He says, just make sure I have a good birthday. I love that. I mean, just make sure I have a good birthday. And I have a dead grandmother. That is one of the great pitches of all time.
It is really an amazing amount of chutzpah.
Yeah. Well, and what could the possible penalties, because this isn't just, I mean, he's facing, am I right in that there is a certain fine that can be assessed every day that he fails to report this?
Well, it's different. So for campaign finance penalties, it's $50 per day and it does accumulate. For this one, it's a criminal misdemeanor and the fine, it's a range between $50 and $1,000.
Okay.
But for each violation and
right.
So that's every gift over $65 he hasn't reported, and that runs into hundreds. I mean, he's had dozens
at least at least that we know of. I mean,
yeah.
Now, what do you do? Like Chuck pointed out, this latest grift you can find the tweets. He literally is saying, you know, my grandma died. She would want me to have a nice birthday. So here are the links to my Venmo and PayPal account, which means if folks aren't familiar with that, you can just transfer money directly to his account.
Thank God.
I mean, do we have any access to that, or can people?
No, at this point, because Tay Anderson is not using a means that you can get at, it would take discovery. So either a criminal investigation would have to file subpoenas with these entities, with the bank, or a civil case could be brought and you could seek discovery that way. But more than likely, you know, again, this is an open criminal investigation now. These are now more potential violations. So hopefully the district attorney's office will in fact subpoena these bank records and perhaps uncover even more violations.
Because it seems, well, let me back up. So Leo is asking us, who are some of the, Leo says, the ignorant people that are giving him money? Who were, do you know offhand, who were some of the, like you said, there were some organizations involved?
Progress Now.
There was a list. The Progress Now was the biggest one. And again, that was the one that really kind of triggered, you know, the alarm bells, because they're very actively engaged in attempting to influence education policy. So again, you know, someone giving him 20, 40, 50, 80 bucks is probably not going to buy a lot other than a sympathetic ear. But Progress Now Colorado gave hundreds of dollars and clearly is wanting a bit more than just a nice thank you card.
Well, and Dr. Donna is saying she thought the donor paid his Republic. Well, Dr. Donna, that's one of the things you're pointing out here. These are not campaign donations, technically. These are Tay Anderson opening up a GoFundMe page and saying, GoFundMe, send me money. Tay Anderson said, my girlfriend, I don't even know if it's his girlfriend, some woman he knew got pregnant. It says it's his baby. He put in a link to the Target baby registry in his name, and people were just going there and buying him baby presents, very expensive baby presents. And now, like you said, I mean, if you're a politician, just open up a Venmo account. I mean, and it's, there you go. Right. I mean,
so, and that's the whole point of this, is that it, and that's why the law's on the books. That's why these gifts are supposed to be reported. And, you know, to Donna's point, yes, campaign contributions are, again, supposed to be disclosed. Sometimes they're not. But if the committee actually does what they're supposed to do and complies with the law, then yes, you can look up and see who made official campaign contributions to the official campaign committee. This is a way around that. This is an end run around those disclosure requirements. This is an end run around the transparency and accountability of contributions to a campaign committee. This is cash directly to the person.
Yeah, it's like, and you'd think that the Secretary of State, if she were remotely doing her job, would be, you know, this is not good. I mean, we just can't have people sending money to politicians' Venmo accounts, and you can't have politicians tweeting, "Hey, it's my birthday." You say it's my birthday. You know what I mean?
My grandma died a few years back.
Send me money. Here's my Venmo account, and it's like, I mean, what do we think Tay Anderson is doing, for Pete's sakes? Like you said, except selling access and allegedly sexually assaulting students at the same time. I mean, what a piece of work. So, and again,
the irony is that that Jenna Griswold campaigned on more transparency, more accountability, about going after dark money. That was her whole campaign spiel. She has done none of that. Right. She has, in fact, actively helped to hide dark money. She has actively, quashed any investigations or complaints about these kinds of activities. I think part of it's political, because obviously she's covering for Democrat brethren and sisterin. But I think also she's just not very competent in the actual function of being a Secretary of State.
But I enjoy talking about chutzpah, the idea that announcing, we've got the gold standard of voting systems here in Colorado, but I am prohibiting anybody from actually auditing or looking at them, because why? If we got the gold standard, I see, it'd be a fraud. That would be it. So we'll always have the gold standard, because no one can ever determine how bad or good the system is.
Yeah, it's a pretty nice gig when you can say, look, the only authoritative source on the validity of the elections is me, and I'm telling you, it's a gold standard. So,
and you can't,
anything else is clearly fraudulent,
misinformation.
Right. Well, you know, what do you think?
Exactly.
Have you ever seen the kind of arrogance and just the, just flat out, there's no other word for it, but grift with other politicians? I mean, this seems to, I've never seen somebody.
Gardner.
Oh, they just cleared him too, though, didn't they? So.
Well, yeah, they cleared him of one ethics investigation or violation, because and it was really interesting, because, again, and it's the same people, right? So Faith Winter is on this committee. Faith Winter violated campaign finance law in the last election cycle. However, got cover from her fellow sister. What's that organization, Chuck? The lefty sisters
Emerge.
Together.
Emerge. Yes. Emily's listening to Emerge.
And so that complaint was kicked to the curb, because secretary Grizzle was looking out for her political ally. Never got investigated. Never looked into the all of this, you know, scads of out of state money coming in through an illegal conduit to help Faith Winter and Tammy Story cross the finish line and allow the Democrats to take control of the Senate. Why? Well, clearly it was inconvenient for the narrative of the folks in power now to take a look at that. So these things will never be investigated under the current system. And again, the current system is a hijacking of what Colorado voters decided by constitutional amendment. And it's bipartisan, right? Because this hijacking first occurred under Wayne Williams. Jenna Griswold just inherited the hijacking and has you know, taken that and run with it. And so right now, there is no actual prosecution. There's no investigation. There's no accountability at all in campaign finance. This has opened the door to the dark money and to the absolute buyout of Colorado politics.
Right. Well, which is to the benefit, obviously, of the politicians. And I think you're right, Matt. It's, you know, and then they wonder why we don't have any faith in the electoral system. It's like, gee, I wonder why. I mean, Mark Timon is asking, what do you think is going to happen with all of this? Do you get the impression, I mean, that the Denver District Attorney's Office will pursue this and will at least make him send them a letter?
I believe that at the worker level, the Denver District Attorney's Office has some people who are committed to doing their jobs. I think they will take it. Where the investigation leads, where the evidence leads, they will do their job. I am concerned that, again, this has happened before, they will do their job up to a point where they actually start to get results. And then the political level will say, oh, not so fast. Stop this right away. So they'll have that. There's a leash, right? I mean, they're operating on a leash. I think they're doing their jobs. I think they are, you know, dedicated public servants who actually believe in doing their job. I'm concerned, though, that, and this has happened before, where they've done the investigation, they've actually indicted someone. They got a grand jury to indict Wayne Williams. Okay. And Beth McCann swooped in to save the day, along with, you know, Suzanne Steyer, who's the deputy. Oh, yes, I believe everything that the deputy is telling me. I believe everything my former friends in the AG's office are telling me, because they're, you know, they're defending Williams and Steyer. And she yanked it from the grand jury, which I've never heard of. I didn't even think that was possible. I mean, once a grand jury does an indictment, they're supposed to be able to conduct an investigation. And that investigation, I mean, the DA is free to not take the recommendations of what the grand jury comes up with, but to simply stop them in their tracks and cut it short. I've never heard of that happening.
Well, so they keep them in secret, but you're right. Usually they at least let it play out and then they don't do that. Well, right, well, let me, we'll let you go. I mean, so we're basically now we're waiting just to see what the Denver DA's office does.
Right. It'll take time, and they'll conduct an investigation, and they'll do their due diligence. And to Anderson, you know, hopefully will actually be required to respond and, you know, and do what he needs to do to, you know, take advantage of the due process that he will be afforded. Again, there is a process. I believe that the DA's office will follow the process. They'll conduct an honest and straightforward investigation. And then what happens after that?
Anybody
knows. Hopefully
know.
It doesn't get hijacked.
He's very busy anymore because he's back to his day-to-day duties. So,
day-to-day duties of a board member.
All right. Hey.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate you. Appreciate all your hard work.
Yep. Take care.
Thank you, Matt Arnold there. Yeah. And Dr. Donna is noting that Beth McCann is a Democrat.
Really?
That's true. Mm-hmm. Which also, though, you kind of wonder if there's something going on behind the scenes, because clearly there are some Democrats who don't like Tay Anderson anymore. We had a phone caller, Peter from New York, had called. Hey, Peter, we were talking to Matt, so we didn't want to interrupt that. If you want to call back, we've got a couple of minutes before we go to Mark Poff. Before we get to him, you want to play that Trump, talk briefly about that whole, I'm sure you guys have heard about that Twitter thread, the Daryl Cooper Twitter thread, very kind of explained
why Trump supporters believe there's election fraud and why they have a good basis for believing that there's election fraud, but not so much on the particulars, but really looking back over the last 5 years and what the what the government, what the media, or what the big tech companies have done.
Right. Hey, so Thomas, can we go ahead and play the Trump soundbite, please?
If you can't wait for Durham, just read a man named Daryl Cooper's brilliant thread on Twitter. He tells the whole story. You got to read it. As he put it, we know as fact the Steele dossier was the sole evidence just to justify spying on the Trump campaign. They spied. Think of it. They spied on my campaign and nothing will happen to them. Think of it. How can you imagine if I spied on Biden's campaign or Obama's campaign? Could you imagine what would have happened? They spied on my campaign. We caught them and nothing happened.
And take a look. So now it's been revealed that the Department of Justice decided that they weren't going to, that they deliberately were not going to look into the Hunter Biden stuff, start issuing subpoenas and continue that investigation until after the election.
Yeah, well, after the election. And then we don't have to worry about it after the election because Hunter will be busy selling paintings.
Exactly.
Exactly. It's hard to believe how corrupt the government has become, or it's, maybe it's how we view it. I mean, the, you know, the, whether it's the FBI or the Department of Justice, they've probably always been just as corrupt, but they everyone now knows it. No one believes in the Supreme Court anymore, watching them say, oh, you don't have standing to bring that one. Oh, no, they might be rioting in the streets.
And that's why they have things like the Joe Biden administration is now saying with the Surgeon General and other, that they're actively working with Facebook to remove problematic posts. Now, they don't say fake posts. They don't say wrong posts, which still I think would be an absolute violation of the First Amendment. They are removing problematic posts. And again, I think that helps Trump's lawsuit. It all goes back to the lawyers. But when you have the government acknowledging that they are working with Facebook, that sort of changes. Facebook is now not a private corporation, technically,
well,
right?
Their excuse is we don't tell them to take it down. We just suggest that they might want to take it down, and then they take it down. Well, if that's not censorship, what is? And Jen Psaki said, and if you get taken down on one post, you should be brought down on all posts. Because once we've determined that you're a purveyor of misinformation, then you should no longer be allowed to do on any post. So, old-fashioned censorship, forget about it. This is the new totalitarian state. And she's happy to say it.
They don't care. It's interesting. I had dinner the other night with a couple of girlfriends, both of whom are very liberal. And it is so interesting the different worlds we live in. I mean, and I love these women. And I think we're an example of how we'll talk politics for a little bit and then we'll stop, right? Mm-hmm. Because we disagree. But the one woman was insisting, she said, well, the reason there are all these vaccination problems is you Trump supporters is because Trump refuses to get the vaccine. I'm like, well, no, where'd you hear that? And she said, CBS News. And I'm like, and I'm like, no, Trump got the vaccine months ago. I mean, I think he was trying to claim political credit for it.
Well, but you also have to understand he got COVID. So
right.
the vaccine doesn't do him any good. He already has a natural immunity.
But he did get the vaccine. Uh-huh. And she kept insisting. And then I ran through some other things, Hunter Biden's laptop, stuff like that, Russia hoax. I mean, she didn't even know what I was talking about. It's just not covered there. All it is Trump is the problem. Trump is a problem. It's just bizarre. And so when they start talking about taking down these problematic posts, I mean, it's a real issue.
Well, it's not a real issue because you won't see it anywhere else. I mean, I promise you, over at CBS News, we don't need to worry about that.
Right. Well, let's bring up now our friend Mark Poff, former El Paso County Sheriff's Investigator. He's filled in for us before. He's been a guest on our show numerous times, involved in trying to get to the truth of the Tom Clements murder investigation, the Department of Corrections chief, going to be filling in for us on Monday. And we have another another junior PGA golf tournament. So, Mark, hey, thank you for your time today. And thank you for Monday as well.
Hey, I'm really looking forward to doing Monday.
Yeah. All right. So, Tom, so you Mark texted me the other day saying, oh, my God, you won't believe the guest I got. And I'm like, oh, you could be our booker from now on. So why don't you tell folks, Mark Poff, what you've got coming up?
Well, a few weeks ago, we heard the story. We all know about defunding police. And I've said in the past that this whole defunding debacle is going to get people hurt, especially law enforcement. So who I have coming on Monday is Sheriff Chuck Jenkins. He is the sheriff of Frederick, Maryland. And it's really kind of in the hotbed. I looked at this because I was interested. I really didn't know where this county was. It's less than a mile away from Washington, D.C., just northwest of Washington, D.C. It borders West Virginia and it borders Pennsylvania. So those, you know, West Virginia is a very conservative state. And so I'm just kind of interested how that county being so close to Washington, D.C., bordering West Virginia. But what had happened was, is one of his deputies did a routine traffic stop, which there is no such thing as a routine traffic stop. Yeah. And he happened to be pulling over an individual who happened to be Black. Now, here in Colorado, we talk about our county commissioners. We call them county commissioners. I guess they're their county councilmen or council people. Well, one of them happened to be behind all this and saw it go down. And he thought, well, I don't think that guy was speeding, so he had no right to pull him over. So he ends up turning around and coming back. He makes a big, I don't want to say a confrontation, but he says, I'm going to sit here and watch your traffic stop to make sure that you treat this minority correctly. And the cop tells him to leave and says, look, you're blocking the traffic. You're causing a road hazard. And he goes, I'm not going to leave unless the driver tells me to. And the Black driver says, dude, you need to leave. You know, this is not good. And so he ends up leaving, but this whole thing kind of becomes a fiasco. So I sent an email to Sheriff Jenkins thinking, you know, who knows, maybe there's a chance he'd come on and do the podcast with me. And I went out and looked at some stuff. This guy's just an incredible sheriff. I mean, he really came up through law enforcement. It doesn't look like he's really a politician. And the county that he's at is just, I mean, just right in the middle of all this action, if you want to call it that. And he's got some great opinions and views when it comes to systemic racism in law enforcement. So I want to talk to him about that and some other things. And so I really am looking forward to this Monday to have a conversation with him about all the stuff that's going on, you know, nationwide with a lot of this stuff, even like with BLM and all kinds of stuff.
No, I mean, that's great and great job for you. Like I said, you can be the check's in the mail, but you can be our booker. Well, I mean, and that's great. And kudos to him for having the guts to go ahead and speak up. As we all know, it can be hard getting people like that because you raise your head and then the Democrats play whack-a-mole with you when they want to smack it down. But let's just talk about that. I mean, while we're, you know, can tease your show coming up on Monday, but maybe... Because we've seen what some of the Maxine Waters, right? Hasn't she started getting involved sometimes when
one of the Black caucus get arrested storming the Capitol a couple of days ago, but that's okay. Those she can storm the Capitol. It's just people with R's behind their name.
But we've had other elected officials interject themselves into arrests because they want the publicity is the thing. So talk to me a little bit about why from a cop's point of view, why that can be so bad.
Well, it's extremely dangerous for law enforcement because one of the most dangerous times is actually in a traffic stop. And I know this personally because on the 9/11, and I've told many people this, I was actually on duty in uniform out on the street. And I did what was a routine traffic stop and a guy pulled an assault rifle on me.
Whoa.
So you never know. And so you need to be focused on your surroundings. And I refer to it as being in the zone or in your mojo or whatever when you're doing a traffic stop. And I will tell you, the scaredest I've ever been in law enforcement has been during traffic stops on major roads.
Right.
You can get killed so much easier from a car hitting you than you ever will getting shot, stabbed, or whatever. Mm-hmm. So you've got this patrol deputy out there. He's got someone pulled over. And I actually looked at the road and I'm interested in asking Sheriff Jenkins, because I know having been a county deputy as well, a lot of the county roads are not real wide and they don't have areas to really pull off. And if you're in the evening time, which this appears to have been, so there's less light, you've got someone pulled over, you're trying to be focused on, you know, that vehicle, the individual in the vehicle. And this is what I tell people this all the time. It's a lot more dangerous to be the cop walking up to a car with an unknown person in that car. When you get pulled over by law enforcement, you know, it's a good guy. You know, it's a cop, you know, turn on your inside dome lights, you know, don't try to hide your hands or anything, turn your car off and everything's going to go well. And so with the law enforcement, we don't know who's in that car. So he's trying to go up there being focused on this traffic stop on a county road. It's dark out, a lot of variables going on. And then he's got some idiot, moron, driving his car around who's going to take his attention away. What if at the exact time, let's say this was a bad person that he was pulling over, this guy directs him and yells at him and says, hey, you know, and then all of a sudden the guy pulls a gun out.
Right.
You know, and then that's what this is all about. That's why you have to obey the lawful orders of law enforcement. And he's now, this is the worst part, he's blocking a little bit of the road on the other side.
Yeah.
So if someone's coming the other way and they see this car, what are they going to do? They're going to go towards the middle. You know, so he is individually putting that officer's life more at risk than probably the initial traffic stop itself.
What was the result of the county counselor or whoever he is? Did he get
get an award?
What actually happened, and I want people to listen in on Monday.
So he's going to tease it.
Sheriff Jenkins went on a radio talk show, I believe, if I've got my information right. And this county commissioner got on, and they kind of went back and forth. So I want him to explain that on Monday and talk about that. But, I mean, the bottom line is this county commissioner, councilman, or whatever they're called there, he broke the law.
Yeah.
You know, the deputy could have said, you know what? I'm done with this traffic stop. You can go. I'm now going to do a traffic stop on you.
Yeah, exactly.
And charge you for what? How about obstruction? You know, obstruction of roadway, you know, interference, whatever it is in Maryland. And then that would have been a big to do.
Right.
You know, and so what started out to be a routine minor traffic violation, my understanding is his plates were bad on his vehicle. Something very minor. He's got a warning. No big deal. Could have cost the deputy his life. You know, could have blown up into a huge, big ordeal. And here's the major problem of all of this. And I'm sure the sheriff will support. We'll find out on Monday. This whole talk about systemic racism. So listen to what they're doing. They're trying to build this narrative that there's systemic racism in law enforcement. They're trying to do CRT to convince our kids when they're impressionable that, look, if you're white, you're privileged. If you're black, you're oppressed. And really what they're trying to say is there's a difference. There's a difference between white people and there's a difference between black people. The whole narrative is racist. And what they're trying to do is this country has been moving forward over the years to where race doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what color you are. It matters what you do and how you act. They're trying to bring in racism back to divide this country. And that is the dangerous game that is going on here. And then look at all these individuals that are now, they're kind of, their colors are showing up. Well, I guess I shouldn't have said that phrase.
Their true motives
are showing over Cuba.
Because they can't
support the people of Cuba.
We support the repressive.
If they come here, they're probably going to vote Republican.
So
you've got your good illegal immigrants, and then you've got your bad illegal immigrants.
So some can come in, and some, to go back to the thing. So you've got all these elected officials now. You know, you said that he said, well, I didn't think he was speeding. It's like, that's right. There are plenty of traffic violations that don't involve speeding. He's assuming and he jumps in. And I would guarantee you, he's not jumping in because he's actually concerned. He's jumping in because he's assuming that he's going to be on camera and he's going to be a big star. And he's trying to make a point, right?
He made it.
He did. And like you said, I've been at plenty of crime scenes and things like that. And the cops, you know, will tell you when you sit down and talk to them, it's like, we don't know, as you have just explained, we don't know what's going on. We don't know who this person is. You don't know every city council member in the universe, right? And all of a sudden you've got this person coming up and you don't know if they're good or they're bad. I mean, he endangered his life. He endangered the other guy's life. I mean, he puts all kinds of things at risk. And that's why I've seen these citizen journalists or some other real journalists anymore, but not real journalists, the real pretend journalists, where they like jump in and they want to get in the cop's face. And it's like, stand back, give the cops some space to do their job. You can take pictures if you want, but when you start interfering, they don't know who you are and they don't know what your intentions are. And it makes it much more likely that bad things are going to happen, I think.
And that's exactly the point. I, you know, for every one thing that can go right on a traffic stop, there's 99 yeah. things that can go wrong. And, yeah. and I obviously know this, you know, having a few traffic stops that have gone south on me, you know, that I don't, you know, I don't want to be distracted.
Right.
And I'll say this, if you cooperate, you have nothing to worry about.
Right. Right. Well, let me ask you this critical race theory.
Well,
Chuck,
Chuck,
no,
I get it.
No.
Well, all right. But there generally, are some
very rare exceptions. Yeah, but if you do not resist law enforcement, you know, things are going to go, they're not going to go well. You may still get arrested.
They may not
if you have
well.
A warrant or whatever. We can have the whole conversation about, and obviously I would agree with some of these because of some of the other things that we've talked about,
right.
About how the government has falsely arrested people that they right. knew they we're knew were innocent.
Yes.
Right.
And
yeah.
the problem is, and Chuck, I know you'll agree with this, absolute immunity has to go away.
I agree.
Yeah. It has to go away. You yeah. can't have judges and district attorneys who can say, you know what? I don't care if you are guilty or innocent. I'm going to put you in jail.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
No. There is a bill that's introduced on the legislature to give qualified immunity, but not absolute immunity
right.
to prosecutors. And it failed, of course.
Because
district attorneys are
you have a good lobby group. Yeah. Let me ask you about critical race theory a little bit. Oh, you are on the school board. Now I know here in Colorado they're lying to people. They're saying, well, we don't have critical race theory. We played on our show a while ago. It was a training for some 900 Douglas County teachers put on by the Gemini Project, and they didn't call it critical race theory.
Equity
they called
theory.
It equity theory. And what they right. said, I mean, it's the same thing. I mean, what when you were on the school board, was there, or, I mean, do you have any information or sense of what's going on
well,
there?
Understand that I was on a great school board for a great, well, of course I was. I was on the school board.
There you go.
A great school district. We're very conservative in northern El Paso County. So the majority of our community wouldn't have tolerated anything like this. But you always are going to have individual teachers that
right.
feel that it's their mission in life
yes.
To get, you know, the kids educated, or, you know, their way. So I don't think critical race theory would really get a foundation at Lewis Palmer School District because of our community and our school board. Even today,
okay.
We have very conservative board members, but that doesn't mean they're not going to try to sneak it in. So
yeah.
whenever I hear this, you know, there is no curricula of critical race theory. I'm like, well, you're just being naive
yeah.
because we can see the nationwide agenda that they're trying to get across, which is they're trying to preach racism. And so what's the best way to say to get racism out there is to say that it's an anti-race,
right.
you know, the critical race
right.
theory.
Right.
So
right.
you basically say, you know, the opposite, and then you teach something that is very racist. I think we're really need to be concerned. I am not surprised that the National Education Association is very much supporting CRT.
Yeah.
They don't represent teachers, I don't
no.
believe. They represent their own liberal agendas at the national level. And a lot of teachers, I don't even think NEA should be able to solicit stuff like this. They should only be representing stuff about teachers, and that's it.
Right.
So, but this whole narrative of CRT, it's so racist, it's unbelievable.
Well, and I think a lot of stuff ties together here, because I think then there's also a bigger agenda, and this is why it's all coming out now. I mean, you've got, you know, the Biden administration telling Facebook what it considers to be problematic posts, right? And all of a sudden they're like, well, I mean, the FBI is telling us to snitch on our family members if they become radicalized.
Extremists.
And radical anymore if you're like, you know, if you say, speak out against critical race theory,
yeah.
then all of a sudden you're racist and that's radical. You're a white supremacist. I mean, it's all tied together for them.
Have you ever heard of Ed Redd?
No.
Well, that's a section of the NEA.
Oh.
It stands for, it's a communist section. So it's
oh.
education for the communist theory. So it's called Ed Redd. And it's a maybe the largest section of the NEA.
And you just kind of hit me on this, so I really want to bring this up. Black Lives Matter has been totally exposed this week.
Right.
BLM right. is exposed. They're not a group advocating to help Black people.
No.
They're a communist organization
yes.
that wants to change the United States into communists, they don't want to help black people. Where's all the BLM community centers?
Right.
You know, maybe that's those mansions that they're buying for themselves. Right. They're going to open those up later on. They've been so exposed this week because of what's going on with Cuba.
And in conjunction with that, the NFL is going to make sure that it has Black Lives Matter advertisements this coming fall.
For the black and the black national anthem.
Well, of course, because they don't want to be extorted, like Coca-Cola and these other companies. That's nothing but legalized extortion. If you don't give us the money, we're going to come after you. So instead of even letting that happen, we're going to do it from the beginning. And look at baseball, my favorite sport. They move the All-Star game from a predominantly black city and moved it to a predominantly white city.
Right.
I mean, it makes no sense whatsoever.
Well, and let me ask you about this. Peter Boyles has talked about this, and we haven't much on our show, but people are aware that the Denver cops, a hotel maid in downtown Denver, found a room with like a bunch of guns in it, drugs, money.
Oh, right.
And reported
right.
it. Yep. And the Denver cops, it was like, you know, they wanted a balcony. It was real close to the baseball. Denver cops understandably concerned that something bad might happen, that they might be planning some kind of mass shooting. So they arrest these guys, and the FBI and Governor Polis and everybody immediately jumps in saying, no, not at all worried about a mass shooting. These guys were just drug dealers.
They're just a happy good black drug car. Dealers. Heroin dealers.
We certainly couldn't say we moved it from Atlanta, stole it from Atlanta to Denver where there was going to be a mass shooting. So
No.
I mean, Mark, you're a cop. Let's say you find three guys, a little bit of drugs, a bunch of guns in a hotel overlooking busy streets by the ballpark. I mean, don't you think that there would be at least a suspicion that they planned something mean?
Well, I definitely would, leading my investigation to, you know, was this going to be a mass shooting? How much ammo did they have?
A lot.
You know, if they had boatloads of ammo and all this other stuff, but again, that wouldn't fit their narrative.
Right.
You know, and...
Well, they said they collected the guns to give them to vets.
Yeah, they were going to give them to vets.
Well, I will guarantee you, I've heard a lot of different stories whenever I've arrested people with guns... drugs or both, where they come up with a lot of very interesting stories as to why they had them.
Yep, giving them to vets is one. Well, what's very interesting now is all of the suspects, and not all of them, several of them did interviews with all of the media. I'm telling you right now, that was orchestrated and agreed to by a deal between the prosecutors those guys.
Well, and the governor their called lawyers, the prosecutors.
Yeah, the lawyers never let the people give, where they admitted to being drug dealers, right? And now all of a sudden we wake up this morning and find out they're not in Denver custody anymore. They're in federal custody. It's like
what
those Denver cops.
Surprise.
They're getting spanked. Saying no mass shooting, stop it. And the judge is like, what? Seems somewhat obvious that would be a question to ask.
My first thing is, you know, if they specifically were asking for a balcony overlooking Coors Field or that area, because you know, I mean, I've gone to a lot of ball games at Coors Field. You know, there's tons of people going into that stadium, you know, before game time. I mean, you have to think the logic and common sense if you were planning a mass shooting. I mean, why wouldn't you do that? It's the same thing. The Atlanta Olympics, Vegas during a concert. I mean, these are all common sense things, but yet now it doesn't fit their agenda.
So we don't care.
I'm pretty sure they weren't white supremacists, because if they were white supremacists.
Well,
trying to find a white supremacist, because I haven't really, you know, they say that these people are everywhere and they have all these terrorist groups. I've yet to see one.
No, exactly. Well, and here too, I mean, how many drug dealers do you know if they're dealing like, and these are little bits of black tar heroin, they don't get like $800 a night hotel rooms in downtown Denver. I mean, typically, they don't. That eats into your profits.
Just talking about the FBI and all that, the Christine Whitmer case where the white supremacists were supposed to be
kidnapping
him or killing her. And we find out of the 18 people charged, 12 were FBI agents. 12. I mean, you know, I mean, the poor schmuck who wasn't an FBI agent.
Informant, yeah. Should have got us.
Yeah. Hey, I want to tell you one last thing, if we can kind of change it just a little bit.
Sure. Yep. Got a couple minutes.
I actually, I want to kind of read this to you. Back in February of 2017, so we're going back over 4 years ago, I submitted a FOIA request with the Department of Justice to get some information on some corruption that was going on at a local sheriff's office. What is it that I thought was corrupt. So I wanted to get more information because I knew they had some reports. So I just got this letter from them. It was in an email. So I have it from the Department of Justice working for me, saying that we're sorry that it's taken us 1,047 days and we still haven't answered your FOIA request.
Are you still alive?
I think by law they have what, 30 or 60, maybe
something like that to explain it to you.
I'm at 1,047 and I'm not asking, you know, for Hunter Biden's laptop.
Right.
I'm just asking for a little report. They told me 3 years ago that they had the data.
So they just said,
sent me something saying, we have the data, we found it, we just have to go through it and check it out. That was 3 years ago.
And so they just sent you a letter. They didn't indicate you were going to get it anytime soon. They just...
Well, no, they don't. They said, hey, you can ask again in 60 days what our...
There you go. That'll start another four-year clock.
So all the right. Department of Justice is working hard for me.
All right, there we go. Mark Poff has a great show filling in for us Monday. Thank you,
good
sir.
Good talking to you.
We'll see you on Monday.
Bye. Bye-bye. All right.
Hey, I want to thank everybody here too. Thank you to Matt Arnold. Thank you to everybody on Zoom, the great folks at BBS Radio. I want to remind you that you can always go to bbsradio.com or just go to the Chuck and Julie Show to get all of our shows and our podcasts. We do have a new thing going where you can become one of our patrons for as little as $2.99 a month to subscribe and help support the show. The shows will always be free and open to everybody, but you can help out a little bit if you feel so inclined.
And next week, we'll talk more about the LEAP program. Yeah. Where it came from, whether you got to go with Mitt Romney's nephew, who's having a fundraiser at
Country
Glenmore,
Club.
Yeah. Glenmore Country Club, in which they have Bill Ritter, Josh Penry, one of the big lobbyists, and all these other fine people.
Follow the money.
$5,000. You can be a host, and you want to do that because why?
Oh.
We'll tell you why.
All right, everybody, have a great weekend. Thank you to the guys at PBS. Happy Party Friday. We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye, everybody.